My name is Amesh Mansukhani, and I'm a senior program manager in the office engineering team, also known as the enterprise deployment guy at Microsoft. I'm joined today with Martin Notnagel, who's from our Microsoft Consulting Services, to talk to you about kind of the overall capabilities that we are releasing with Office 365 Pro Plus and kind of walk through what that looks like. I hope you guys kind of enjoyed that video. I know it was fun for our marketing team to create. But essentially, what that really means is, you know, we're trying to enable our users to be, or your users and all the users for Office to be able to receive the latest capabilities and features. And it's not just for us to be able to say, hey, we want to sell you a number of products and so you can go ahead and continue deploying. We truly want to ensure that your users can be as productive as possible by using advanced set of tools and technologies. And the only way to be able to do that is to help you as the IT admins and professionals to be able to deploy these capabilities as seamlessly as possible. We know typically in the past, when we are delivering a new feature, what we've done is we get a new feature request, we look at the market, we see what's out there, we go back in and wallow in the engineering team and we go, okay, how do we actually build this up? And once we do that, we start developing it, we have a proof of concept out, we go into beta, we start maybe our technical adoption programs, we interact with you, you know, a select few of you to see how it works within your environment. And by that time, since we thought about the initial feature, it's been about 12 months or so since we've actually, you know, come out with that beta. We go back in, we, you know, take care of all the bugs and feature capabilities, and we enhance it to make sure that we can complete the overall scenario. And then finally, we deliver it in a new product version. Well, that's great. So that's now 3 years later that the feature has been available. Now, on top of that, we know you all wait for Service Pack 1. Right? So that's another year or so before that. So that piece of feature or that capability is now somewhere around 4 to 5 years old. And in fact, your users are going out and grabbing these new set of technologies from other places and bringing it into the organization where you no longer have visibility into it. You no longer have that potential control, but then you're somewhat responsible for it because it's within your network. Maybe, maybe not, right? And so now with going with a product like Office 365 Pro Plus, where you deploy that product into your network and into your environment, we now have the ability to continuously update that and provide your users with the tools that they need to get their job done. Instead of having Office on one hand and some other capability or feature on the other hand, right? But for us to be able to do that, we really have to be able to give you the right set of tools and capabilities that allow you to get to that without making you overwork around it. So our vision is to ensure that you now focus more on knowing the insights of your deployment than actually fidgeting with how to deploy, focusing on the real complex problems. We want to make those complex problems much easier to deal with. And so that's what we're here to do with Office 365 Pro Plus. Now, the tools and capabilities that we have today are available to you to be able to manage your deployments and your updates. So we want to be able to have you be able to use your existing set of processes, your existing tool base, any of your orchestration systems that you currently have. And then at the end, we want to be able to go to the cloud and have more of a cloud-powered based solution where most of your infrastructures that you have to maintain all those source bits are no longer as necessary as they were in the past. So if you've gone to our earlier sessions around best practices, you're starting to see kind of this resonating, this theme around, where we have a cloud managed, we have the ability to do locally managed or enterprise managed deployments. And we'll kind of go through each and every single one of these, but the cloud managed deployments basically are saying, hey, today we will leverage all the source bits being in the internet. All of your update bits are in the internet. So as your users are, you know, using their desktop or laptop, they can just receive all of those directly from our Office CDN location, right? And then on top of that, we have the locally managed ones, which we know a lot of you have been using. In fact, let me see with a show of hands, how many of you are already deployed Office 365 Pro Plus? Okay. And how many of you are currently just looking at it or in a pilot phase? Okay, great. And how about you, how many of you are doing a Office 2016 deployment, the MSI version? Anybody? A couple of you, okay. Great. So we the locally managed solution basically takes your existing infrastructure, whether it's a file share or DFS solution, and hosts all the bits locally onto your environment, where you can then control what version, what language packs are available to all of your users across your environment. And then finally, we have the enterprise managed, and this is what we're going to really we're going to do a lot more focusing on, is where we leverage distribution tools like System Center Configuration Manager to allow you to help you to allow you to orchestrate and really have clear insights of what your environments look like, right? So we'll kind of walk through each and every single one of these. So for the first one, under cloud managed, we've done a lot on the Office 365 portal to be able to allow your users actually do a self-service installation. Gives them the ability to go to one single place to be able to download all of the source bits that they need to be able to do that first install. They can get to this portal.office.com directly from the internal network if you, again, if you do have this enabled, or they can do it from home or anywhere else that they choose to. And this gives them the latest set of bits as soon as they've gone to the portal to receive them. It also gives you the ability to do other applications such as Visio and Project if you do have app licenses available for that. On the admin side of things, we've now given you the capabilities to actually choose things like what version you want to show on that particular portal. And with one little caveat, starting February of 2017, or actually at the end of February 2017, that capability will go away because we are deprecating the 2013 version of Office 365 Pro Plus. So you will not be able to see that any longer there. But for the meantime, you do have that capability and availability to you if you want to choose 2013 versus the 2016 set of bits. You also have the ability to choose what update channel that that you'd like your users to see or to be on once they've downloaded and installed those set of bits. And that's available only for the 2016. And if you're not totally familiar with the update cadence, I'll talk about that later on. In fact, how many of you are not familiar with the channels that, that I just kind of mentioned? Deferred channel, current channel, any of those? Okay. So we'll kind of cover that, and we'll talk about a little about best practices on what would be the right place to do that. But that's currently what we have today. We know there's been a lot of requests to do to make that overall portal better. So there are going to be a number of improvements that are going to be coming around over the next or towards the end of the calendar year. So we're going to have that available at that point. That is going to allow you to be to have more configurability around what the portal is going to look like. And we're also refreshing the portal in general so you have a better look and feel within the portal itself. If you are currently on the Office 365 Pro Plus 2013 bits, by now you should know that, you know, we are upgrading. We do have the 2016 set of bits available, and we want everybody to get to that latest bits. We've added some certain new capabilities to make that overall transition much easier. The first one being the ability to set up a deadline. So, right, previously, you've always seen there's the update deadline. Right now, we're doing the upgrade deadline in this case. We all know that when users see some kind of bar or notification, they would stay on it for a long period of time. And therefore, we're allowing, you know, enabling that capability. We've heard a lot of customers ask for that, and therefore that's something that we're doing. The other thing is install from local source. So if you have, if you don't want to go directly to the Office CDN, which is what we have advertised right now, we are going to give you the ability to actually do the installation directly from a local source instead of directly from the Office CDN. So that will be coming out later on this calendar year. And the last thing is, for those of you who do not provide administrative rights for your users, we are going to enable the ability to do an upgrade without having admin rights directly from the CDN. If you're going to be doing from local source, you would not need that. You won't need that either once that capability is there. But for now, you would certainly need that. And the other thing that we're also doing to make this overall better is giving you the ability to do more of a GPO-like set of settings in the cloud, directly from the cloud. This is going to give you the ability to kind of set what the configuration should be for each and every one of your clients, more towards user-based. These are going to be user-based settings, and then you have the ability to do more preferences or policies based off that. All right, how many of you guys are using the Office Configuration Tool, or OCT, today to configure your stuff? Okay. So this would give you the ability to take those potential preferences, which is what the OCT provided you, and now give you the ability to do that directly from the cloud to every single device available. And I'll kind of show you what that would look like. In fact, let's go over. So this is a mock-up that we put together. In fact, we're going to start developing this shortly. And it gives you, like I said, it gives you the ability to really look at any of the settings, any of the group policies that you pretty much have, and give you a subset of those group policies. We're going to start with a smaller amount of policies that are available and have them available directly from the Office 365 admin portal. Let me show you, see if I can get to it. There we go. So you would have a new option called the Office Client Settings. We would be able to add a new set of policies, ask you for some basic metadata tags, things like name, description, and be able to add those. As I mentioned, they are going to be group-based and targeted towards individual sets of users, so more user-based policies that you'll be able to target. It's still machine or user level, depending on what was initially created. Like I said, we're still going through the list of policies that we're going to provide you, and then we'll put those and make them available here. As we do in here, we can assign a set of Office 365 groups. And then from there, we can go back in, and what this is, what we call this the hub, essentially, allow you to go ahead and modify the product settings. In this example, we'll go into Word. I can look at all the different settings that we have available. In here, we'll go into Word options and see that we have about one configured right now. I can go ahead and click on Enable, and then give you the ability to enable or disable it as you choose, as you see fit. Then we have the ability to look at whether we want to allow that user to be able to modify that set of policies. And that's kind of where we really look into the difference between what is a group policy-based policy itself, which is enforced over a periodical basis, versus a preference where we say, no, I just want my user to do this, but I will give them the option to change that at a later point if they choose to. With the Office customization tool, the key thing to note there is those things were all set at the initial deployment or the initial install. With this, it would be a constant refresh, especially from the policy standpoint. On preferences, we would not be refreshing because of the fact that if a user has changed it, then we don't want to overwrite that particular setting for that user. And then from here, you would be able to automatically, you know, save that information and see the differences between policies versus preferences. Click on the policies. And then you could get a nice little filter there. and then go back. And once these are applied directly into the Office 365 portal, it would then go ahead and get refreshed onto your individual to individual devices. Essentially, the way that's going to work is when a device is booted up, it would go out to the cloud, check the settings, and then bring those back down onto the device itself and apply them at that stage. So that's just a quick sneak peek of what that looks like. We're going to be delivering this at a later date. I don't have an actual availability date, but that's something that we're currently working on to help the overall cloud-managed part of the of your deployments. There's a lot more work that we're really looking forward to doing. Not much that I can really talk about right now, but the thing that I want to leave you behind is that is kind of the overall direction that we're moving towards, is giving you the capabilities to be able to leverage what is available in the cloud, in the Office 365 Admin Center, to be able to do that kind of management set. And we know that we're also being really conscious about ensuring that we're not giving you too many different admin portals or touch points, so that, you know, we're looking at all of those that are available today, and making sure that we're condensing in the right places. For example, if you do if you are using Microsoft Intune, we don't want you to go into Intune for one thing and then going back to the admin center for another thing. So that's the kind of stuff that we're definitely looking into, and making sure that we are not giving you more touch points and consolidating in the right places for you to be able to do that. So that being said, let's go back to, okay. Now we're focusing more on the local distribution and the locally managed section. So we've done a lot of stuff around this. The one thing to note around the local management is this is more to help bridge any gaps that we've introduced with Office 365 Pro Plus. We know that you guys are, based off the feedback that we received, that this is probably, you know, the easiest way for you to be able to address a lot of the situations that you're seeing. And therefore, we're addressing it by providing you with additional capabilities into what we call the Office Deployment Tool. But the key thing to note there is we're not going to be focusing a lot on this. We don't want to continue to add in this area because, like I mentioned earlier, we want you to get more into that enterprise-managed versus the cloud-managed solutions that allow you to be able to be a little bit more hands-off on that overall deployment. Well, we definitely want to respect your processes and the customizations that you need, but this is not the area that we're going to be focusing on as much. But one of the things that we are doing is the overall download from local, what we call download from local source. Gives you really the ability to take a larger set of files. Let's say the example of I have a requirement of downloading, you know, 20 languages, which equates to somewhere around 6 gigabytes in total into your environment. So if I want to go down to a central location, I can go ahead and then download to a different location a subset of those files instead of going back directly from the Office CDN and having that downloaded directly from there. So that's kind of what we've helped enable, and I'll show you what that looks like. So essentially, in this case, like I'd mentioned, if I was looking to go ahead and download to a single set of servers, I can go ahead and download a large set of the Office files, including all the language packs that are necessary. In this case, I do have, you know, 6 languages that I'm downloading, which equate to around, let's say, 2 gigs of bandwidth, 2 gigs of file size that you need to be able to download. Now I want to go ahead and distribute that to multiple regions or locations, but I don't really need all those languages, right? I want to be able to break those down a little further. And for me to do that, I can use this download path to be able to download directly from that location using the Office Deployment Tool and have it directly on those individual servers in those regions. The other thing that we can also do is then take those and distribute those set of files necessary to the individual devices itself. So there's two different scenarios essentially. One is I'm going from a central site to multiple regions, or I'm going, and then the second one could be if I want from those central regions down to my local source, so you could do more of that local installation. Very similar to what System Center Configuration Manager would potentially do if you're downloading and storing all those bits into your local cache. So that's kind of a thing that we're helping recreate based off the feedback that we've received. The other things that we've done to help with the overall improvements of that is, one is the deadline in local time. If you're currently using the group policies to set deadlines, we have the ability to add the term local at the end of it. And what that does, it will actually respect the local time of the machine to enforce the deadline. Previously, it was all done in UTC. And therefore, obviously, that does not help in a lot of situations when if you're a multi-geographical located area and your users are constantly traveling. And on that note, you got to keep in mind that if a user travels from one time zone to another time zone and doesn't update their actual device, it would still be the local time of what that device is and not where they're located. So something to consider when you're implementing this. We did get a lot of requests for this particular functionality, so that is now available in the group policies and available today if you go to the Office 5 group policies or Office 2016 group policies. The other capability we did provide is the ability to switch your channels using a command line. So if you're using the Office C2R client.exe, we have this slash change settings channel kind of flag that allows you to determine or to switch at a much easier pace the actual user's channel. And it gives you that capability to do that without using group policy. So the other option is to use group policy or to leverage the Office deployment tool. But this seems to be also a much anticipated kind of functionality that people have been asking for. So we've done that. And the final thing that we've done here is we added to the Office client, we made it a lot more smarter when we're actually doing channel switches. And what this does essentially is if you're going from a faster channel to a slower channel, it's going to recognize that and make sure that you have the latest bits from that. And let me kind of explain what that means. If I was in version 1000 on the current channel, on the deferred channel, for example, and I was moving to a different channel and that happened to be on a slower one, say version 500, what would end up happening is it would wait until that new version surpassed your version 1000 before it says, oh, now it's time for me to update. So instead of doing that, what we've done is we look to the fact that we've changed channels. We're getting a lot smarter on that. And then we say, oh, now we're going to go ahead and understand what is the latest version in that channel and go ahead and update that. This does require that you have updates coming directly from the Office CDN for this to work well. And on the last thing is being enterprise managed. And this is the part where we're talking about more leveraging distribution tools to be able to do the kind of distributions, the more orchestrated distributions by having better insight, using reporting, being able to do the proper set of orchestrations where I'm targeting groups of machines at a time before they're actually distributed at 100% of the network. So we have a couple of things in System Center Configuration Manager to be able to do that. And with the 16.02 version, we introduced the overall integration with the software workflow, the software update workflow, to be able to do this. And the way this actually works is any time Microsoft publishes a new build of Office to the CDN, we also publish a package directly to the Microsoft Update Services. And at that point, the WSUS services within your environment will go ahead and take a look at that. It would then download the actual package itself. And within that package, there's not much more there other than metadata that tells you basic stuff of what build is it, what version do we have available, what channel architecture and so on. All of that is determined, and at that point, as an administrator, whether it's going after an automatic deployment rule or you're manually looking at it, you can then determine if you want to download it or stage it, and of course target different machines within your environment. So you have that's kind of what happens at that point. And as I mentioned, you would then go ahead and start targeting the different machines. You would select the languages that you would need for it, and then you would start staging it within the distribution points in your network. And then at that point, we System Center Configuration Manager would instruct Office to be able to go get the binary deltas and be able to download that and actually produce the update at that point. One thing I want you to know is that unlike the regular software workflow, where we actually download the full set of bits into the cache and then be able to update locally, and what we do here is we go out to your local distribution point, pull the differences that we need using binary delta compression, and bring that back to the client. We rehydrate all those bits available onto your disk, and then that's when we perform the actual update itself. And like I mentioned, this is all available from 1602 onwards, so of System Center Configuration Manager. And we're constantly adding new capabilities and features on this. So this was the first thing that we really wanted to focus on. And because that's the biggest thing that we've been getting requests for how do we continuously manage and orchestrate updates appropriately. Beyond that, we introduced 1606, I believe, back in July. And we added a complete new set of capabilities in here, in addition to what I just showed you. One is we improved on the overall language wizard, selection wizard. Now, as you do download, we had a bit of a problem where, depending on how you selected, not all your languages come down. So we did a lot of improvements around that to make sure that was a lot more robust. In addition to that, we focused on channel, how update channels were handled in the system. And then we also added the automatic deployment rule templates, which we'll show you in just a second here. And then the final thing is we also improved on the overall inventory. So we started collecting a lot of information directly from the client and having that sent back to your site servers so you could do more reporting process around that. And those reports are actually available in GitHub today. So if you go to aka.ms/office-scripts, you can find that today. And later on this year, we're going to also build these reports into the box. So the next version or two of System Center Configuration Manager will have these available for you as you update to the next version or two, which will give you a lot of information around your environment, where we'll cover things like what is your channel, what is the version that you actually have, and of course, what languages do you have within your environment if you do allow your users to go out and pull languages directly from the Office website, the Language Accessories Pack website, or if you advertise them locally within your environment as well. And we'll show you kind of what that looks like. But beyond that, there's something we announced a little earlier today at the Ignite Studios, which gives you more of that single glance view of your environment. And this is the Office 365 client, the management dashboard. It's a one-stop location that you can go and just have a quick glance of seeing how many devices are available within your environment. Again, simple, what version, what languages, as well as what channels you have. You can also create new deployments directly from here. And we'll show you exactly what that looks like in just a second. But the great thing about that is you no longer have to be able to ingest the Office deployment tool customization file into your and create packages and then start deploying from there. You can actually have that all done directly through a wizard-based solution in System Center Configuration Manager. In addition to that, you can, of course, do automatic deployment rules, as I mentioned earlier. We get a quick view of what that looks like. And then we can also push additional client settings directly from this location. This is very much in line with the Windows 10 servicing model or the servicing tab within System Center Configuration Manager if you're currently using that. So that's how we're aligning with that. That being said, I'm going to pass it on to Martin to kind of demonstrate what that looks like. And
thanks so much.
You go from there.
Thanks. So, is it working now? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Amesh. So I will walk you through the steps for the improved reporting and the improved setting up a deployment Office 365 Pro Plus with the upcoming updates to System Center Configuration Manager. As Amesh mentioned, for example, the improved reports are today available on GitHub. And this kind of is an example how we as Microsoft has speed up our cycle. So in order to bring you the capabilities to get the reports out of your environment across all the Office 365 Pro Plus deployments you have running with all the different channels and languages, we published it to GitHub. So you can pull it down today and integrate into your configuration manager to get it immediately while we are working on integrating it into the product. So if we go to the GitHub site, for example, we can look into the management section and then look into the config manager client report section. And there you find the necessary scripts and a step-by-step instruction how you can set up these improved reports today in your existing System Center Configuration Manager 1602 or 1606. But I will now switch over to the 1609 release, which is coming later this year, where we have these reports built in out of the box. So when we look into the monitoring section, I go to the reports, custom reports, which is kind of a common task for config manager admins. We get a set of new reports because, as I mentioned, and Amesh mentioned, with ClickTron, we gave you different channels that people can be on to adapt or adopt features quicker or a bit slower. So we have to manage all these different channels, get an impression who is on which channel, how many people are consuming updates from where, and are they on a current release or are they lacking behind? Should we reach out to them and get them to the latest update to adopt features and to adopt the security fixes which are in? So with the upcoming configuration manager update, we'll provide you these reports built in where I can get all this information. So for example, I can check which computers are running in a shared computer configuration, so shared desktops or RDS-based systems. We can check which languages are actually used across my landscape, and which might be more interesting from a tracking perspective is the actual version so that I can make sure that everybody is on the latest version per channel, or if a group of users is lacking behind and we should push them forward to for at least adopting the latest security fixes. So these are will be all available out of the box. So we can also check, for example, a report, or open a report, update source details with graph, so I can get an understanding from where my employees, all the devices are actually consuming the updates, so which ones are using local sources, which are consuming updates directly from the cloud. So I can run the update, run the report, and it's a regular configuration manager report, so I can filter down all the stuff. But then looking further down, I get a better understanding which clients are updating from a local source, which is WCAG server, WCAG share in my case, which are consuming updates from a cloud. And if I scroll a bit to the right, the colors are indicating the different channels. So I get a quick overview in my environment, how many systems are managed from an on-premises location, how many systems are consuming updates from a cloud. And if I want to drill into all the details, I can look, of course, also into these details. Well, that might be a bit harsh. So I get in information per computer, which version of Office is on it, is this Pro Plus or is it Business, what is the primary language, what is the actual product version on it, the architecture, are they all consuming automatic updates and from where? So I really can drill down and get a better understanding out of the box. With, for example, Configuration Manager 2012 or older, you had to kind of be creative to get these information out of the client and then try find a way to visualize it. Now it's all there. Speaking of the improved deployment, so when it comes to deploying Office, of course, we can use the Office Deployment Toolkit. We can use the Configuration XML. Me being a senior consultant at Services, I've done this multiple times, open up a notepad, crafting the Configuration XMLs by hand, making small mistakes, using the wrong quotes, missing a blank somewhere, then it doesn't work, which is really annoying, takes a lot of time. So some time ago, we set up a Configuration XML editor based also on the GitHub project, so you can click together the configuration that you want to make it easier for you to create the Configuration XML that is needed without having to deal with all the syntax. But now we are taking it one step further. When we go into the Configuration Manager, we integrated all this into the Config Manager together with the ability to create a package together with the source files and all the necessary information so that you can easily push it out to your clients. So what we introduced in this update, or will introduce in this update, in the navigation, you have a new node, Office 365 Client Management, which kind of consolidates all the different areas from Configuration Manager. So you can manage your updates from there. You can, of course, use the software update point as always, but now we kind of integrate everything at one place. You get a quick overview of your environment, so we can easily see how many clients we have running, which channel they are consuming, which version they are on, so everything is good, they are all on the same release. What are my mostly used languages in my environment? So English is leading, and then we have a few installs of the Spanish and the Chinese language pack, so it gives you a quick overview to understand where we are. And especially, in this case, everybody is on deferred channel, but for larger organizations, often we have a mix of deferred channel, current channel for example, the CEO, who always wants to have the latest feature updates, and FRTC releases, for example, for applications owners. But the majority of production will run deferred channel in most organizations. But this gives me a quick overview, what is the current state of my environment. So what Amesh mentioned was the Office 365 installer. So we made it even more easier to come up with the necessary configuration XML source files and create a ready-to-deploy package. So when we click on it, it is all driven by a wizard, so we can give it the name. We can specify where the source files are. So it's on my server and localhost. Office 365 content, so I don't have to re-download everything. We can import settings, so if we already have a configuration XML, it's easy to import and take all the settings. But if we want to start from scratch, we now get all the necessary options for, in this case, Office 365 Pro Plus. So I can also switch it to Office 365 Business, so it adjusts all the available applications. But now it's point and click. I want to have Pro Plus. I want to deploy the full set of applications or a subset of applications. Do I want to add Visio Project? Is a C2RP edition, standard or professional, or a full-blown click-to-run version or subscription version? And it's kind of point and click, so get rid of, in this case, we get rid of Access and get rid of Publisher. We would like to deploy also Visio with it in the subscription model. We can then easily select the architecture, 32-bit, 64-bit. We specify the channel, so let's go deferred, add languages, so let's add just Arabic to it, and also set the default language. So what is my first language installed onto a machine, which is kind of responsible for the integration into the operating system. So all the file associations, are these in English or are they shown in Arabic? And normally I can do the same in a configuration XML. I have to obey the order of languages, how I specify them. Now it's wizard driven. So go with them. I want to accept the Euler, but I don't want to pin icons. So for example, I can also select the version. So the configuration manager knows all available versions. If I have to go with a specific version, I can pick one from here. So let's move back in time and go with 6001. And then in the same wizard, I can set up the whole deployment. So I can just create my application and deploy it later, or I say yes, I just want to go straight to the deployment, and it gives me the regular options that we all are aware of and used to in Configuration Manager to then configure the whole deployment to which collection, is it required, is it just available, do we have a deadline, how do we surface everything to the user, is the user should be logged on, logged off from a machine, so this is then normal business for a Configuration Manager admin. And this is pretty straightforward without having to read through our references and figure out how to build the configuration XML. It's point and click, create the package, push it out. So it makes it really easy to create two or three packages if necessary and push them out into your landscape.
A couple of things I want to mention about that as well is in the demonstration that he was just showing, when you have languages, there's a global setting for languages that the actual wizard is going through. If you want to have unique languages, for example, for Visio versus the actual Office 365 Pro Plus, you can certainly do that in the overall XML, but that's not something that we're supporting here because we're just not seeing a lot of folks actually have that requirement where they separate those two out. Typically, you have the same three languages across all the applications that are distributed there. In addition to that, there's the there's a properties that we saw there. There was the auto activate, pinned icons to taskbar, which only work in Win 7 and 8 right now, as well as the accept EULA functionality. That's a subset of the other properties that are available, and we do that on purpose and by not exposing the remaining of them. It's because the additional set of properties were mainly focused around update, and those were updating from local source or even defining it to have updates directly from the Office CDN. So therefore, we suppressed all of those. The last setting that also you did not see there was enable the COM interface, and that's what tells a client device that they want to be managed by Office 365, by System Center Configuration Manager, excuse me. And therefore, since we're doing the initial deployment from Configuration Manager, we're automatically going to set that to true to make that enabled. So if you do need to change that for some reason, you can certainly do that after the fact within the client settings capabilities to be able to turn that off. Is there anything else?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Martin. So let me get you. And the other things that we're also working on, I mean, because the nice thing about Configuration Manager and the new cadence that it's on is approximately every quarter, or sorry, three times a year, they're now releasing a new version. So we had 16.06 back in July. Previous to that, it was 16.02. The next one will be 16.10 is most likely what the next one will be available. We don't know if that's October or November yet, but that's kind of the cadence that you're going to see with System Center Configuration Manager, and we'll be able to help continuously advance and provide new features in that. So if you have any particular set of feedbacks or capabilities that you want to see in the product, please let me know, because we're constantly talking to all of our customers to really figure out what they want to be able to see within the product. Things that we are going to be doing that we're looking into, one is enhancing the overall automatic deployment rules. Right now, if you want to stay on a longer channel for a longer period of time than just the first 4 months and you want to continue that for 8 months, you would have to do some interesting stuff around the title to be able to really get that to work. And that's areas that we're going to be improving on. The additional stuff, if you've not seen one of the older technical previews, we also introduced the peer-to-peer capability into the client, and we're going to be working with that down the road. We haven't done any work with that yet, but that's something that you should look forward to that we'll be integrating with. Everything that Martin showed you today is now available in 1609 technical preview. Not in production yet, but it is in 1609 TP, which landed just yesterday. Available online today. So, thank you. So let's continue and talk about the additional updates that we've actually done as well within the product. The first one is we've improved overall the ability to deploy language packs as well as proofing tools. So previously, if you had to manage language packs, if your user wanted to go and get a new language, they would have basically one option. They would have to go directly to the language accessory pack website that we have and download that language directly from there. That obviously causes a number of problems for admins who are actually doing that local distribution. You would have to know what languages are within your environment before you can actually download the next set of bits and push those out. Causes a lot more confusion, a lot more overhead. So one thing that we've done here is we allow you to use this new thing called a product ID equals language pack, where I'm not really defining the product itself, but I'm only defining a language pack because you already have a product on your primary machine. And what this does, it allows us to not go poll that individual device and go, hey, what kind of configurations do you actually have on that device? You would have to know what that was before this capability was available. Now all we have to do is say language pack, product ID equals language pack, and then define the languages that you want to be able to host. And this is great for those of you who want to create these individual configuration files and have them available on your local intranet or on your System Center Configuration Manager if you want to do it that way as well. And what that does then is once you've executed this configuration file, it actually honors all your existing settings. Previously, if you didn't, it would actually just reinstall Office in that brand new language if you didn't have all your previous settings. And what, like I said, what this does is it looks at your existing set of settings and it goes, okay, if you have English available, now you want to install Spanish, we would just add Spanish as that Delta package, and that would be it. The other thing that we've been asked a lot about was proofing tools. Because of the size of proofing tools and the fact that some of your users just want to be able to leverage the dictionary capabilities to be able to check documents and do basic spell checking around that. So I posted a link onto this, but we now have on the Microsoft Download Center the ability to download the individual 2016 proofing tools, and that's available now. And these are individual proofing tools that are available versus the full package that you potentially would be used to with the MSI. So if you look at this site, we have the Office Proofing Tools for 2016. I could select the individual language that I want a proofing tool for, and I can click on download. It will give me the ability to do the multiple languages as well as the architecture that you want to download from. So. And like I mentioned, that, as you saw, is available now on the Microsoft Download Center. We've also done additions to side-by-side, and there are a couple of things that we're doing there. If you're not totally familiar, but I believe most of you are, there was a restriction that we've implemented with Office 2016 where if you purchased a perpetual product of Visio or Project, which basically had the similar version but was an MSI, or you had a click-to-run version that you bought in the store, would not run side-by-side, depending on, again, the type of version or product or technology, install technology that you had. So we did a couple of things. One, we enabled several new product IDs, and Martin kind of touched upon this in System Center Configuration Manager, but we have these four new product IDs available that allow you to install the volume license version of the click-to-run package. I want to make sure we're clear about that, right? So previously, if you had a volume license, we typically focused on technology volume license equals a MSI package where the subscription license equaled a focused on click to run. But now you can actually just get the project or Visio standard or professional editions for volume licensing and activate it like you've previously activated against AKMS or using a Microsoft account key, activation key for that. So you have that capability to do that. It's fairly simple. We can just use the new product IDs that are available, and we just say Visio Pro X Volume for I want the professional ones. These are all available online on the Office CDN for you to be able to download today and be able to push those out onto the individual machines. And to activate them, again, we can leverage your KMS, your key management server within your environment, and it would go ahead and directly activate from there. The other thing that we are doing is we are doing a lot of work within the product to be able to do natural side-by-side of multiple different versions of Click to Run on the same instance of the box. So we'll be talking more about that shortly, but just want to make sure you guys are aware of that. But this ability to download these project videos, Visios in Click to Run are available now.
Can I ask you a quick question on that?
Sure. So the question is if they had Visio 2013 available right now, I'm assuming MSI is what you're talking about, and then to be able to do this, to be able to enable this, do we have to uninstall and reinstall? Yes, you would have to uninstall your current MSI, reinstall the Click to Run volume license version, and then be able to continue using that from there. So that's a good question. And then the other thing we looked at was online repair. Previously, with online repair, we would basically reset your client to all the defaults that we initially set up. And there are a lot of those, right? For example, if you were currently on the current channel and you're using Office 365 Pro Plus and you went ahead and run online repair, we would move you to the deferred channel, which happens to be our default update channel. And that can actually cause a number of issues for users where they're losing a set of features and capabilities if they were used to receiving those at a much faster and a higher frequency. So we've actually taken care of that. We've also made sure we kept almost every setting or configuration that you have available. These are all done via group policy. And things that we've done, for example, like I mentioned, update channels, if you had any excluded applications. So if you're excluding, let's take the example of Access and Publisher, we will make sure that those are not reinstalled when you run an online repair. Online Preview is a great, great tool that allows, you know, it's actually solves number of issues that users could potentially have run into. I know our support services definitely uses that when they find some anomalies that are just not typical, and it does a great job in doing it. But unfortunately, it actually sometimes it put the user not in such a good position because they either lost or gained features that their admins did not intend for them to have. And this way, we've actually taken care of that, where we honor all those individual settings and be able to, you know, keep those and put those back. The other one is the management comm. This is the one I talked about earlier, where your device understands that it should take instructions directly from System Center Configuration Manager and not look at other processes that are on the box for when it comes to update management. We also look at the local path. So if you are using a local path to manage updates, so again, the whole file server or DFS share, we make sure that we maintain that kind of information. And then shared computer activation. So if you are hosting Office on a virtual desktop infrastructure, a VDI solution, we want to make sure that we persist that, because once you run an online repair, that would obviously cause a number of issues. The key thing to note here is that it does require administrative privileges to make this happen. So especially in that VDI scenario, you certainly don't want your users going in there and start running online repair, because that's going to cause other issues as concurrent users are on that machine. So therefore, we do have a new group policy object available that would actually turn off online repair for that particular scenario, plus other machines that you potentially want turned off in your environment. So you can go ahead and do that via group policy, and it would actually remove the bottom part where it says online repair, and that would eliminate that, so the option is not selectable by the individual user. The other thing to note is we actually have the capability, if you're doing the local update path, if you have a local update path defined, we will actually use that source to conduct the online repair instead of going out back to the Office CDN. But we do have that secondary option where you can fall back to the Office CDN to get those bits if you cannot reach that local file share. And this is great for users who have that, you know, their update URL pointing to a local source, but they're outside of that network, and now they can go ahead and be able to, you know, pull directly from the CDN once they, once that first part fails. So we do have that. And the last thing I want to kind of talk to you guys about was that overall update channel and what that frequency is, and why do we actually have this stuff, right? So we have the we have actually two core channels that we provide today. One is called the current channel, and the other one's called our deferred channel. And this gives you the ability to receive, to dictate how fast you receive features within your client. And what this does is, for this first one right here, is the current channel, where we're delivering features on a much more rapid cadence, on a much more frequent cadence, which is about monthly at this point. You might see some additional ones in between that, but typically, it's pretty much on a monthly basis where you're getting a new set of features. We have a whole bunch of developers back in Redmond who are constantly looking at new ways to make productivity overall better, and therefore they're constantly checking in code and delivering that in a more frequent basis. The second thing that we do have is, like I mentioned, our deferred channel. And that secondary channel, what it does, it actually slows down that delivery of feature updates, and you get those updates 3 times a year. And we've pretty much frozen that on February, June, and October. And you're delivered those, and you're delivered the cumulative updates of all the features that we've kind of delivered in the current channel in the past. So you could take the last 3 to 4 months, bring those, we put them all together, and then we deliver them in these individual deferred channel updates. In between that, we will continue to make sure that security updates are available, right? So if you look at this example here, we have in DC1 February, we released a number of feature enhancements. We've also added some improvements, what we call quality improvements, and then we've added security features in there. But the following month, you're going to continue to receive updates. It's not like updates aren't going to come, but we are still going to deliver updates on Patch Tuesday, just like you're normally used to. The only difference there is we are adding in just security updates and patches at that point. So you're still getting updates at that point, right? So that's a critical thing to make sure you understand. I've heard people say, oh, I'm only getting updates. Microsoft's only delivering updates 3 times a year. No, that's not actually true. We're delivering features 3 times a year in this channel, and then you're releasing, then you're getting those updates. The other thing to note is if you want to stay on that channel for a longer period of time, you can actually stay on that channel for a total of 8 months. So the one DC1, for example, came out February, and we'll continue to service that all the way up to September in this example. After that, that channel is no longer being supported. We will not add any features. No bug fixes, no security updates, nothing is going to happen to that channel. You have to make a decision at that point to move over to DC2 at that point or go directly to DC3. So we give you two trains, if you will, at a time to choose from at any given time. So you can choose if you want to stay longer or you can kind of do this incremental bump up. Now, we know that's not the longest period of time because you want some time to validate really be able to look at what's coming out in advance. So what we're doing here is we're releasing, we have a first release set of builds that we have 4 months in advance of that. So in the example of DC2 here, the first release bits are delivered back in February. These are the bits that you can take a look at, and we're going to continue to service that. Because we know for a fact that we're never going to be able to test everything in your environment. We do our preliminary tests. We make sure that we give you a high-grade quality product. But every environment that we've seen, even if you're in the same industry, is extremely different. And therefore, we have to rely on you to be able to take a look at your environment and see what potential issues you might encounter. And that's where we really need you to be able to validate these bits against that. So we recommend that you take a small percentage of your users, if you choose this channel, and be able to ensure that they're actually using it on an everyday basis. I wouldn't just give it to your IT staff, because that's I wouldn't totally consider that typical, unless that's what you do for business. But otherwise, we would give them out to all the different users that are using critical line of business applications, just basic processes, making sure everything is going well there. And then after that, and then throughout the 4 months, you can, you know, you're ensured that we're going to continue to deliver quality improvements over that period of time, including security updates. And then, of course, once we declare that particular set of build in deferred channel, that's when we recommend that you start pushing those deferred channel bits out through the entire environment. And of course, if you do see any particular issues, definitely contact support. We want to be aware about it so we can go ahead and turn around those fixes in a much faster way. And that's why we would say, once we release that first release bits, take a look at it as soon as you can, deploy that to your environment, again, in that small set of production for your production users. Have them communicate to you. You can inform us and let us know how that's going. And then, of course, we will turn around any potential fixes that are necessary into that channel. Once you're actually in the deferred channel, we want to make sure that there's little to no churn other than security updates. So if you're asking for help during that time, unless it's a really high critical problem that's causing the entire system to crash, we'll certainly take care of that. But we're not adding any hot fixes into that channel itself. So that's why I keep kind of pushing more on ensure you do your validation in the first release, because that's going to be critical. So I'm going to leave some time for some Q&A. We have a couple of mics here. But before we start that, there's a number of sessions on Office 365 Pro Plus. We have a booth down at the Expo Center with some great folks who have gone through tons of deployments. So if you have any additional questions after the session, we certainly have folks there to help you out. In addition to that, there is a session tomorrow that I'm going to be doing around managing not complex scenarios, that was your session, but managing deployments with System Center Configuration Manager, so come check that out, and we'll do a lot more deep dive into how to do proper Configuration Manager deployments, so a lot heavy on the demo side on there, and then we have a couple of customers to talk about what they've been doing to, what their experiences are in the overall deployment. If you haven't checked out about deployment assistance, we have Fast Track, so please check that out, fasttrack.microsoft.com. They're a great set of resources to actually talk through and be able to help you get through any of those deployments and any questions that you might have there. And we also introduced a new tech community, techcommunity.microsoft.com, where we have tons of our folks on, including myself, on the forums, answering questions, helping you out whenever you have any questions or issues that you're facing there. So please evaluate the session. We need to ensure that we're giving you guys good, high-quality content. So love to, you know, get that feedback from you guys. And that being said, I'll open it up to questions you might have. Thank you very much.
Hi there.
Hi.
My name is Joel, and I was curious if you have any insights or if there are any changes related to the ability to have 32-bit and 64-bit Office applications on the same PC.
I can give you insights. There are no changes. Yeah. That is actually a really, really difficult thing for us to do. We took a look at it, and unfortunately, getting to that side-by-side for 64 and 32-bit is just really not something that we can easily do. But is the reason that you would like to see that side by side more of the I need better Excel functionality, but my add-ins are focused on 32-bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so we get that a lot, and that's why we are working with ISVs to figure out a better way for them to provide a 64-bit equivalent add-in, and then be able to help then move your entire organization to 64-bit across all of the applications versus just, the side-by-side of I need heavy-duty Excel versus the rest should be back on 32. So totally understand the problem and appreciate the feedback there. So we are working on that, but we're not working on it in the way that you were just asking.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, certainly. Yes? No, not necessarily. So there's three ways of switching channels. One is by using the new command line tool that I mentioned a little earlier. We have, if you use the Office C2R C2R client.exe, that command line with the flag at the end of it allows you to do that switch. The other way is through group policy. And then the third way is to do it via the Office deployment tool. So you have all three choices to make that actual switch happen. Yes, I would always go and get the Office Deployment Toolkit whenever you're trying to do something, because we're constantly making improvements to it. We have a nice little change log on the site as well that we are constantly updating, so you could see exactly what's changed. So I'd always visit that before you actually do the download, aka.ms/odt2016.
Second question, proofing tools, you said you can download the individual languages. Those work with Click to Run?
The proofing tools that I showed you earlier will work with Click to Run.
Okay, but that's just individual languages. You don't have a comprehensive set like you had under...
They're individual proofing tools, not languages, but just proofing tools.
Yes.
We do not have a comprehensive package like we did, like we do with the MSI product.
MSI.
Correct.
Terrific, thank you.
Yep, certainly.
Yeah, quick question to follow
yes.
up on the language there. So to clarify, you now have the option to add a language to an existing install without having to specify the previously installed language. So today you'd have to do English and Finnish, or English.
Today you would have to do that.
Right.
But if you use the, it's actually available in preview now. So if you go ahead and use the ODT, you can do product equals language pack, and that will actually add or augment a new language onto your existing installations without specifying other language packs. So if you have English and French today and I want to add Spanish tomorrow, I can just go product ID equals language pack, and then below that just specify French or Spanish in this example. And that would be it.
Okay, and when would that come into Click to Run XE or the Update XE? Is that feature pending?
Actually that feature is available now. We're just, honestly, we're waiting for our documentation to complete. So by the end of this month, we'll post that documentation up and it'll be done.
Excellent.
So.
Okay, well then I'll ask my coworker, who is the person who downloads those proofing tools, if there is a way you could make them into one download, that would be deeply appreciated.
You're
supporting, 25 to 28 languages or whatever it is, and that's kind of a real pain in the download, I guess.
Fair enough, okay.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah.
The new online capability that you have, can you call that through a command line?
Sorry, which one?
The online repair.
Yes.
Would you be able to call it through a command line?
No, you cannot call the online repair via command line. No. We don't have that capability. Wait. Okay, apparently we do. I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a yes.
There's a command line for executing or initiating an online repair or a quick repair. I will catch you after the session.
Okay.
And give you
a little
link.
We can talk to Martin after that.
Sure.
Thank you, everybody.